Good morning, Angela Composalova-Ida. I'm a little nervous. People who know me on this meeting know I share almost every day, but I am a little nervous, so please bear with me. I'd like to start with a prayer. Higher power, as I understand you, I pray to keep my connection with you open and clear from the confusion of daily life. Through my prayers and meditation, I ask especially for you for freedom from self-will, rationalization and wishful thinking. I pray for the guidance of correct thought and positive action. Your will, higher power, not mine, be done. Thank you. Angela Composalva-Ida, today is 80 days abstinence. For that, I am grateful. Through the years, I thought I truly believed that obesity was genetic because my grandmother was obese. My mother was one of eight children, and they were all obese. There are two still alive, and they still are obese. The other six died of complications of the disease. That's including my mom. So I can go back to elementary school. When I was a little girl, I could remember walking to school and stopping in the grocery store on my way to school to buy goodies to secretly eat in school. As I started to gain weight, my mother used to cry out to me, "Mama, please don't be like me. Don't be like me," over and over. I didn't quite understand it, but she was about 350 pounds, maybe close to 400. We never went to a shopping mall together. She never came to school functions because her obesity was disabled, but that didn't stop me. I ate and ate and ate. As I graduated and went to high school, I never had homemade lunches like the other girls because my mother was too consumed. And I went and I bought my lunch and I ate it and I ate it. I even ate one of my friend's leftovers almost every day because her mother made these gourmet lunches. And I couldn't understand why she didn't want to finish the lunch. So I ate and ate. I started to notice that the boys were not looking at me the way that they looked at other girls, and this started to bother me. I have to say, though, I was lucky. I had no abuse. My family was loving, but we all had a disease. When a family friend got engaged and I was in high school, she wanted to go to Weight Watchers, but she didn't want to go alone. So I went with her. I dived into it with all of me and lost weight. But feeling like Marilyn Monroe right before goal weight, of course, I started eating and gaining again. And that became the yo-yo diet effect. I went to get diet pills. I went to get injections. I went on Jenny Craig. I went to LA Weight Loss. I did the fruit diet, the meat diet, the soup diet. I'm sure you all understand where I'm coming from. Then I went off to college and I was pretty thin. I was acceptable. I met my first husband. We got married. I never finished college. We went to live in Michigan for a year. And I exercised every day, crazy like a crazy lady. Exercised to make sure that I kept in, I kept in, I kept in. It was all on my mind, but I was never really happy. We decided to come back from Michigan
And try to
and have a baby.
and things for a couple of years went really like really fertility specialist and all that. They found out that I had a brain tumor and that was hindering me from having a child. But that's another story. That was all taken care of. I finally got pregnant and it was a license to eat. I gained 80 pounds. All I did was want to eat. Throughout my pregnancy, my ex-husband found someone else, fell in love, and when my son was 2 months old, he left. So guess what? Food became my everything. My friend, my lover, my confidant. I was sad. I ate. I was happy. I ate. I celebrated, I ate, going to funerals, family funerals. I was looking forward to the in-between time so we can go out to eat. It was very sad. Now, here I was with a toddler,
and realized I needed to lose weight to be active in his life because he only had me. The yo-yo dieting started again and again. And one of my obese uncles gave me $1,000 to choose a diet to lose weight because he felt bad for me. Because then I started to go out a little bit when my son was a little older and realized that even though my friend was 100 pounds thinner than me, people would talk to her and go to her, and I wouldn't even get to bat out there. It was terrible. My self-esteem was low. I can't even explain the feeling of less than. It was horrible. When my son was 6 years old, I met my current husband, and I was never satisfied with myself. My weight was horrible, and he loved me, and he paid for so many diets again and again. Jenny Craig, LA Weight Loss, nothing made me happy. For years, it was up and down, up and down. Moving forward some years, when I was 50 years old in 2009, my husband threw me this extravagant surprise party. It was like a wedding. There was a DJ, there was a cocktail hour, a dinner, a Viennese hour. I danced the whole night. It was beautiful with family and friends. But guess what? I don't have one picture because I felt terrible looking at those pictures. Sick to my stomach because I felt fat. I felt terrible. I felt like, oh my God, how can I have gone out? How can I have done? Look at me. Look at me. I was disgusting. At this time, I was so embarrassed. I was so ashamed to ask my husband for more money, for more diet pills, diet injections, more Jenny Craig, more LA Weight Loss, more bars. I didn't know what to do. But I had an aunt in AA, and she mentioned OA to me. And I remembered in the 70s, my mother and her friend had some success in a program. My mother had already passed away, but her friend was still alive. So I called her. And yes, indeed, it was OA. Because I remember my mother being on the phone a lot. I was young, but she was on the phone a lot. And then we had a tragedy in the family. One of my cousins was killed. And that was it. She never went back. That's why she was obese and died of complications. I found a meeting January 17, 2009. And believe it or not, I never left the rooms. I was on a pink cloud for a couple of years. I was the chair of Staten Island. I would have shouted from the rooftops. I had the pom-poms. I wanted to tell everyone how wonderful it was. But I must admit, I was in and out of abstinence. I was in the research committee. I wasn't sure it was okay. I didn't know what to do. I never left the rooms, but my doctor told me I was headed down a bad health place. So I took the steps for bariatric surgery. And I did in January 2020. I had bariatric surgery, the sleeve. I lost some weight. But the truth be told, if it wasn't for OA, I would have gained all that weight back. It was just a tool. When you go for a surgery like that, you have to go for many medical tests and even a psychological test. And I think the man was shocked at my interview with him because I had OA. I had OA on my back. I had OA on my shoulders. I knew that OA had my back, and I knew that it was just a tool. So I could remember that I never left the rooms, face-to-face meetings. Then I knew I was slipping. Something was happening. Even with the surgery, I knew that my old habits were coming back. I would be the type, oh, I didn't have breakfast, so I can't eat more at lunch. I knew that these old habits were coming back. I went to the, we, I don't like to freeze food, so every day I would go to the butcher or the Italian pork store. While I was online, I would buy something and eat it. It was small, whatever. I didn't think it was a big deal, but it was a bad habit. It was a compulsive food habit. So I knew I had to change it. And one night in January of 2023, I got on my knees in the middle of the night and I begged God to help me. and my computer was right there. And I found OA footsteps, and I've never left. And it took me a while to get a sponsor. It took me a while to get back to a food plan. And here I am. I'm back here, and I found footsteps. But before, when I said I was one of the lucky ones, I had a lot of support. My family never said, "Oh, you're in a cult," or they never said anything. And I had great sponsors. Somebody said to me just casually, "Andrew, do you need to have that glass of wine with dinner? You're social, you're fun, you dance. Why put that sugar in your bun?" It's 12 and a half years that I haven't had a drink, and I'm not an alcoholic. I could care less about that. That's not my drug of choice. My drug of choice is food. And it can kill me just as drugs or alcohol. And it's scary. People who know me on this meeting know I love to share because I want to be the person that is honest. I want to be the person that can give hope. I know this program works. I know this is a common solution and we have a common disease. And I feel safe here. Life is very scary out there. People don't understand us. They go, "Oh, just have a little. Just, you can have just a little." No, I can't just have a little. And I can go out to dinner. And one of my cousins just told me this the other day. "How could you lose weight? You're always going out to eat." But I can make the right choices now. My head is in the right place. Desperation got me here. Got me here more than once. Knowing that I cannot do this alone got me here. Today I'm proud to say that I'm a member of OA. To know I have a disease, to know I am not alone, to know it's not my fault, to know I am not weak, to know I have a solution, to know I must do the work, to know that it's okay to make a mistake because I am not a mistake. To know I'm in a safe place right here, right now, in a way. To know that I have a loving God. To know that I am a child of God and God will take care of me. I was really like a big book person, I thought, "Oh no, God has to take care of the world. He has to take care of war, politics, terminally ill people, not me. Wait, it's my job. I have to do it." But OA has educated me in all these areas where I know that I am a child of God who he loves and he wants to be better. And every day I want to be better. And I know that I didn't hit my 20 minutes, but I think that I've done enough. Thank you so much for letting me share and letting me be part of this fellowship.